Good evening, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon broadcast for Monday, June 8th. Welcome to the broadcast. Those of you following along at home, doing your own decodes, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub and QAnon.news/Q. If you would still like to get an Android app, go to QAlerts.app/app or QMap.pub/info/mobile. You can still get the mobile apps for Android by going right to the website. They're not available in the Play Store. My theme for this broadcast is not all posts are for Anons. I apologize for the lateness of this post. I've been working on the second Q book, doing my homework. Speaking of which, if you're new to Q and looking for information, or if you need some for your friends or family, you might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm. It is volume 1 of the Q Chronicles. I cover some of the main themes that Q discussed early on in the operation. It also has a glossary in the back with over 500 terms, abbreviations, acronyms, and agencies to help you decode Q. That book is available both on Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. All right, after Q posted a link to a tweet, there was a lot of controversy on the 8kun board and on Twitter about whether Q had made a mistake. Q's response was, not all posts are meant for Anons. So in this broadcast, we're going to explore how and why Q addresses people other than Anons. Sometimes Q will post a message to Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter. His handle is @Jack. This one is from 2018. Jack, civilian puppet, player in the game. We play for keeps. Need help sleeping? How was your meeting with Pelosi? Protection offered? Life lesson, be smarter than those controlling you. T-1234, Q. Sometimes Q posts messages to Edward Snowden. Snowden is actually a target for the NSA Q Directorate. They're going to bring him to justice because he illegally leaked classified information. So in this post, Q specifically addresses Snowden. Where are you? Not in Russia. Eyes on, you are now a liability. Helping Jack, Project Deep Dream, we will never forget. ES failed. Where is ES? John Perry Barlow, define the end. Day of reckoning is upon us. John 3:16. Sometimes Q likes to troll his enemies. Distress calls to others will do you and your family no good. At this stage, we know where you and the family are at all times and can hear you breathing, Q. Notice the bracketed letters, LDR. Lynn de Rothschild. Sometimes Q replies to people who post on the board. This knucklehead said that Q is fake. Q responded, you made the list. It's rare. Feel proud. Pick up your phone, Q. I don't know what I would do if Q sent me a message telling me to pick up my phone. That would be scary. Okay, on Thursday night last week, Q posted this message, which was addressed to particular members of the military, EAM loyalists. So that's an obvious message to a certain group of people. And, you know, we can sit here and try to figure it out, but it's really not actually meant for us, other than to maybe let us know that there is a plan in place. When this is actually a repost of one of my drops. I was looking at this photo that Q had posted. I can't remember when this one was first posted. It's a picture of some people walking in London, and Q kind of indicated it was from December of 2015. I zoomed in on it, and I thought, you know, that coat and that long hair, that looks a little bit like this photo of Lisa Page. So I posted it on my Twitter thread, and then Q reposted it on the board and wrote a message to Lisa Page, keep your promise, this is not a game, Q. And then there's this post from November 30th of 2018. So a congressional hearing on the Clinton Foundation investigation had been scheduled for December 5th, 2018. A week earlier, Q posted this message to the person who leaked regarding the Huber Clinton Foundation whistleblower, do not reveal anymore, Monday. Right, so we thought that this message was to the person who leaked information about the Huber investigation. caused the deep state to have a funeral for George H.W. Bush, December 5th. That also postponed the hearing by one day. Q responded to the Anon, one man who gave up everything, risking his life, himself, family, to fight for and defend we the people. Bait expends ammunition. Evil has no place here. Right. This post was actually bait. It got them to expend ammunition, and they had to hold a funeral and try to cancel that hearing for December 5th, which was canceled. It was held on December 12th, and Huber did not show up and testify because, well, his investigation wasn't over, and he wasn't going to testify. He never was until the investigation was over. We have this post, and this was sent to the deep state during John McCain's state funeral, and that served as cover for a gathering of deep state players in Washington. It must be hard to communicate. Every moment together is a moment you should not waste. Former presidents are able to arrange a skiff. Does the American taxpayer foot the bill for 12 hotel rooms in close proximity to the central skiff? Secret security details ordered at maximum perimeter. Nice color choice. It's a shame the windows had to be blocked out to eliminate that view. So Q was just letting the deep state know that he was aware of what they were doing. And they have to have a state funeral and have a skiff so they can talk and coordinate their plans. All right, in April of 2018, Q posted this warning about following people who profit off the movement. He implied that some people had wrong motives. Be careful who you're following. Some are profiting off this movement. Some are building a big following off this movement only to then retreat and go mainstream. Patriots make sacrifices, some the ultimate sacrifice. Patriots are selfless. Do they ask for monthly payments to remain patriots? Think logically. To some, it's only about the money. Those who would seek personal gain at the expense of others in this movement has an agenda. You decide. This is not a game. The only profit we should all be striving for is true freedom. God bless you all. So, understandably, a lot of people took that as a general prohibition against making money. But if you want to know who Q was speaking to, you need to read some other messages. At that time, Jerome Corsi was one of the most popular Q decoders. He had been promoting his latest book and several other revenue streams. Nothing wrong with that. However, after Q posted that message, be careful who you follow, Corsi went on the air and basically accused Q of being a socialist. And then weeks later, he claimed that Q had been compromised and we couldn't trust Q anymore. His trip code had been compromised. So on May 11th, Q posted a link to a thread by Serial Brain on Reddit who explained how InfoWars and Corsi had tried to discredit Q, and when that failed, how they tried to subvert the movement. Reddit has taken that thread down, but I recreated the original thread by Serial Brain on my website. You can just go to The Long and Secret InfoWars Against Q if you're interested in checking that out. So the following day, Q explained that what appeared to be a warning to everyone was actually a message intended for Corsi and InfoWars only, and not the rest of us. They attempted to infiltrate, repackage, and rebrand as their own profit vehicle, destroy through misinformation, absorb the confused, reroute traffic to other platforms. Action was needed. Two things they needed to do. One, prevent false decodes and information. This is one of the things that irritated me about Corsi. He was actually doing really bad decodes, and I thought he was just doing it because he didn't have the information. But Q has indicated here that the bad decodes were intentional. And kill targeted infection prior to expansion. So the movement was expanding, and Q wanted to get rid of them before the movement expanded. Simple, non-direct statements were made. Be careful who you follow. Some are profiting off this movement. Message sent, message received. Those who were guilty immediately reacted, predictably. Timetable was accelerated. Misinformation attack exposed, attempts to divide. We responded, house cleaning, heal core. So Q just kind of explained here that they were actually targeting Corsi and InfoWars with a general message that we thought was for everybody. It was actually just for them, to get them to react. Months later, there was a discussion on the board after Roseanne Barr retweeted one of my Q videos and Anon accused me of being a patriot, P-A-Y patriot, one of those people who's just in it for money. He's talking about my PayPal account, my Patreon. Someone should let Roseanne know she's promoting a patriot. Another Anon wrote this: I don't think it would be fair to say that a journalist can't make money when covering Q, but that's the difference. A journalist covering Q isn't necessarily usurping Q. The patriots, P-A-Y, patriots in question, were trying to usurp Q. This video explains what happened very well. It certainly cleared my head about it all. And then Q reposted that Anon's comment. So confirmation there that Q wasn't actually making a prohibition against people asking for donations or not receiving money. It was a move intended to get rid of some people who were causing problems. On the night of June 6th, Q posted this. This is the one we're talking about. It's an image of George Floyd. File name is G Floyd JPEG. And there's a link to an Obama Foundation tweet. And the image and the link are not related. If you click on the link, there's a different image. This image is just one that Q came up with, just so that that's clear. And then Q wrote reconcile. This is the linked tweet. Did you tune into Barack Obama's commencement message last night? Here are a few of our favorite watch parties, right? If you click on that link, it takes you to the Obama Foundation website, and the image that comes up is not this image, it's a different image. It's an artistic, kind of a stylized picture of George Floyd. So people then began to wonder, okay, what the heck is going on here? The tweet by the Obama Foundation was tweeted out on May 17th. George Floyd died on May 25th. Why does an old tweet have an image of something that happened a week later? This Anon said, it's a dynamic link to an outside page that changes image irrespective of the date of the tweet. Here's another one, even older, from October 29 of last year, has the same image. This is the image that you see if you click on these links. Okay. If you click on any Twitter link for the Obama Foundation that goes to the website, that's probably the image you're going to see. Right. So this is not an issue that requires a lot of technical expertise to understand. If you have a personal website or a blog, you've probably encountered this, even though you may not understand the technical aspect of how it happens. The idea that Q would not understand this seems very unlikely to me. I don't think Q accidentally posted a link to a tweet, not knowing that that image would be updated if they uploaded new images. I think something else is going on. But nevertheless, this Anon said, Q, you really need to walk that last one back. The same reason a thumbnail of a gray clapboard shows up on a YouTube video when it's been deleted. The thumbnail is current, Obama.org main image, but the content is old. Q, you need to retract that. Q then posted this snippet of code, and everyone then was trying to figure out, okay, what the heck is going on here with this code? What does it mean? What are we looking for? Did Q screw up, right? So, and this Anon posted a link to the page where that code came from, and it's from dev.2, and it's a discussion about how dev2 generates social media images, okay? And I'm not going to go into this because I don't know that it's all that relevant. I read it and I didn't understand it. If you're not a programmer, a web developer, you're not going to understand a lot of this information. I've seen a lot of interesting theories about what Q is implying with the Obama Foundation tweet and that snippet of code. This is an example. Caleb Connor actually had a pretty good explanation of what he thinks Q was trying to explain. But Q hasn't confirmed any of the theories, and I don't think he's going to. And here's why. This Anon actually points it out pretty well. I don't understand how people don't get the Q post. The tweet card updated because the site updated. However, that's not what Q is pointing us to. Web developers frequently use the card validator privately before they update a page to make sure the card looks proper before they go live. What Q is saying is that one, they control Twitter, and two, they saw the Obama web developers send a request to validate the George Floyd card before the Floyd event happened. It's a warning, we caught you. I think that's probably the best explanation. Q posted this, not all posts are meant for anons, right? So there's all this controversy on Twitter, all this discussion on the board, and Q is basically telling us, look, this wasn't for you guys, this is for somebody else. This anon said, well, we're a little jumpy, not the first time a message was not for us. Hope Barry understands we opened his mail by accident, kick. This anon said, just out doing Twitter damage control, don't mind us, carry on. Q's latest post is a tweet for the White House, and this is an interview with Devin Nunes, who's talking about Rod Rosenstein's testimony, and I'll let you listen to this video.
Rod Rosenstein, the former Deputy Attorney General, testified before the Senate's Judiciary Committee. Senator Graham said that there was no there in August of 2017. I wanted to ask you if you agree with that statement, and why is that time period, August of 2017, so significant in your estimation?
Well, let me answer that specifically to your on your point of your question. So what happened in August 2017 is Rod Rosenstein finally put together what's called the scope memo of the investigation that was 4 or 5 months later, after he appointed Robert Mueller to run the special counsel. And in that scope memo, it's essentially filled with the Steele dossier, the Clinton dirt, the Democratic National Committee dirt, where they smeared it all over the Trump campaign, opened up an investigation that then ultimately turned into the Mueller investigation. So here you have August of 17, months, nearly a year after this whole thing has been debunked by the people that were running the investigation. Okay, so they knew in January of 17 that there was nothing to the Steele dossier. They know the sources were either bogus, phony, or lying, and essentially there were no Trump people colluding with any Russians by 2017. So you have to ask yourself, what on earth was Robert Mueller doing and Rod Rosenstein doing using that dossier months after this investigation was ongoing? And I always say, when Robert Mueller walked through the door in May of 2017 and says, where are the Russians, guys? And they say, no Russians here. Oh, okay, let's just open an obstruction of justice trap on the President of the United States. That's what they did.
And it sounds like Mr. Rosenstein more or less admitted a big chunk of that in his Senate testimony. Is that accurate, do you think?
Rosenstein, I would say at best, is a very slippery figure. You know, his answers, I have to go back and actually read specifically through his testimony, because I'm not sure it really matches with our investigation, the House Republican investigation on the Intelligence Committee. It doesn't really match what we know about what Mr. Rosenstein knew and when he knew it. And I want to be very careful with that, because we want to go and look and analyze it. But I can tell you, I'm at a minimum, I would say, I'm perplexed by Rosenstein's testimony of being, you know, unaware of all these things that occurred in 15, 16, 17, and 18, especially when he's there in 17 and 18. That very bizarre answers, I think, he gave the Senate.
Would it occur to you, in your opinion, that he was perhaps being disingenuous with the committee?
Well, there's a fine line between disingenuous and lying. And, you know, that's what we need to figure that out. But I got to look, you know, look, he's been a lawyer for a long time, been at DOJ for a long time. Like I said, he knows how to operate. And so we got to look at, you know, what really was his testimony.
It seemed like he was, in the testimony, perhaps laying a lot of, implicitly, I think, laying a lot of the blame at the feet of Andrew McCabe, saying that he was misled, or at least implying that, saying that Mr. McCabe was not forthcoming. Do you think that's an accurate description, perhaps, of Mr. McCabe and his conduct, based on what you...
Well, the one thing that I will say in Mr. Rosenstein's favor is that, you know, he came to the coup late. Well, we don't have any evidence that Rosenstein was involved in the plot to really take out a president in 16 or early 17. But sometime between when he appoints Mueller and writing the scope memo in August of 17. So May 17 to August of 17, Rosenstein effectively knows they're running an obstruction of justice trap on the president of the United States for an underlying crime that they have no evidence of. And that's what really doesn't make sense. Rosenstein appointed Mueller. You know, he claims in the Senate testimony that he had a team, they were getting updates. You know, we really need to know who was on Rosenstein's team and what updates were they giving him, because his story doesn't jive with reality.
And that gets us caught up to Q. If you enjoyed this broadcast, you might want to subscribe to my channel. Thank you for sharing this on social media. If you'd like to support me on Patreon, the link to my Patreon is in the description box. If you'd like to pick up the book, Calm Before the Storm, the link is also in the description box. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Keep the military and the Secret Service in prayer. Love you all. Take care. I will catch you on the next broadcast.